Welcome back to the Lost Joystick Network, episode 44. I'm your host, Mike, joined, as always, by my co-host, Jay. Jay, say hello.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
A little under the weather, but other than that, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to sit over on this side.
A little congested. Don't worry, it's not contagious.
I'm going to sit over. Oh, yeah, you say that.
I am not contagious.
Yeah, well.
If you get sick, I blame your lady because she's a teacher.
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to eat that microphone, too.
It's like a Petri dish. I sound like the fucking guy that sings Mr. Grinch.
Don't breathe on me.
You're a mean one.
So, you're a little under the weather. Sorry to hear that.
How was your week?
Good. Did we do yours?
No, you just asked me how I was doing. How are you? That's what I should have asked you. How are you?
I'm good. Good. I'm good. I've been prepping for Midwest Gaming Classic, and that's really about all I've been doing. I've been helping Kyle at Retro. I went over and grabbed some stuff from him, helped him clean it up, took it back to him, kind of told him what, you know, like he doesn't really know what to bring. So I'm like, hey, you got a bunch of good stuff here. These are the things you should bring. And I kind of take them home, resurface them or clean them, test them just to help him out because he's got a lot going on otherwise too. So, and a lot of prepping for Midwest Gaming Classic, man. I am going to bring all the stuff down here and we're going to try to do a dry run of the table so I can kind of figure out what I can and can't fit and how we're going to set it all up and all that good stuff. So nice. That has been the majority of my time. Didn't really do anything interesting. We just were on a week ago, so it hasn't been super compelling, you know?
Yeah, it's hard enough for me to come up with stuff to talk about in 2 weeks, and now we're doing it every week.
Yeah, we're not doing it.
Not every week, but we've had clumps.
Yes, we have. And I can see why, you know, your boring life would be magnified.
Yeah, it's already a struggle when it's 2 weeks. Yeah. Now it's been 7 days.
That's right. So, very good. And how are you? How's everything going with you?
Well, what have you been up to? I'm sick. I mean, I've been working.
Yeah?
Yeah. Went over to your house. Hung out with you, cleaned some games.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't really clean. You cleaned. I was fixing some rattly games.
Yeah, a lot of broken little posts inside the NES games and stuff we had to get out of there. So
yeah.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that you also helped get some of that stuff ready for Kyle.
That's all good. So, you did the bulk of it.
Yeah.
I didn't do much. I came in and did like two things. Wasn't a big deal.
Anything else before we go into collecting?
Oh, Lord, no.
I get the feeling this might be a record for the speed in which this episode is conducted.
Are we going to speed run this episode?
We might speed run
it. Let's go.
Nobody else has, so you'll find out later. Nobody's doing that for this
one. Can we enter this on speedrun.com?
We might have
to. It's a speed run of a show about games.
I'd have to look at what the parameters are and the rules.
All right. Mark's screwing it up, though. We got to keep going. All right, let's go.
All right. And keep this thing on the rails.
I thought you were going to do a third there. That's why I was pointing
again. Nope, went with a two.
Oh, well.
So, Jay, time for the collecting update. It's been 7 days since we last spoke. Pick up anything good in the last 7 days? Besides the cold?
Damn it, you took the only thing I was going to talk about. I got a delicious unsweetened iced tea.
Wow.
From a local burger joint. You know, Deegan ate burgers, so I had iced tea.
Culver's is from Wisconsin. That's not local.
It's local from where you guys got the food from.
For our Brazilian listeners, it's local for us. Anyway.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, you picked up nothing. I'm picking up what you're throwing down, and that's zero.
Did I talk about adrenaline last week?
Yes.
Then yeah, I've gotten nothing.
Yeah. All right.
Big fat zero.
Hades.
I'm just borrowing one of your 17 copies.
Somehow I have like 5 copies of Hades.
So I'll make it quick, but this is how I got Hades. So I get down here tonight, and Mike goes, hey, look, and he shows me a copy of Hades. Where do you think that came from, you say? Oh, it's just in one of his fucking plastic storage totes in the corner of our set that you can't see. Where'd you get that from? I was in one of these drawers. I was looking for some Velcro. Yes, looking for some Velcro, and I find an unopened video game for the Switch. Why, you ask? Because he has 17 copies of Hades. He's got one in his car, in his bedroom, in the basement.
And now I don't have one here. I used to have one here, and now I don't.
There's still one here. It's over on the other side of the room.
But it's yours now. What am I supposed to do?
No, you have another one on top of that. You have three down here.
Well, that's quite interesting.
You really don't have that many.
I don't.
But it was funny because you did, in all seriousness, you did say, I was looking for some Velcro and I found this in the drawer.
Yeah, I forgot it was in there.
What about you? That's all I got. So. Yeah,
I haven't really picked up much. I have a couple of things. So when our friend Mr. Chiaramonte was on a couple of episodes ago now, which was just, what, the 15th, right?
Yeah.
So when he was on, he talked about a book for The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Oh, yeah.
So that showed up. And all it is a compilation of the comic series that ran in, like, I think it was issues 34 through 44 or something like that of Nintendo Power. And it's all compiled in here. Let me see. Yeah, 32 of 43. So, yeah, it's just the comic series in book form.
I remember that. That was so cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's from the golden era.
I feel like I should buy one of these.
Yeah, it was $18, I believe, or $16.99.
Amazon, was it?
Yep, sure was. And then other than that, I really didn't pick up much. Like I said, I've been spending most of my time prepping for the show, boxing, pricing, cleaning, whatever. Although I did visit Heritage Auctions a couple weeks ago and got a package a few days ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Jeopardy Sports Edition for the Sega Genesis. It is a 9.0B. And you can see that it's a B because there'd be a giant rip in the shrink wrap there'd on the spec. There'd be a
giant rip in the shrink wrap.
So, picked that up off Heritage Auctions one night. Jay, what do you think that my bid before buyer's fees and shipping and all that shit, what do you think my final bid for that game was?
I'm going to say $8.
$22.
That was in the ballpark.
$22, adding to my magnificent sealed investments, my boxes that I covet.
What's that? What's that make now?
Oh, there's probably 50 of them around here somewhere. Really? Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. Please don't. Not now. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, so yeah, that was pretty much it. Nothing super exciting. It's been just a pretty short week. So you want to talk about our giveaway for Midwest Gaming Classic? We talked about it on the last episode. Why don't you tell people a little bit about that? I've been doing all the talking.
We can. Do we have another episode before the show? Okay. I didn't know if we did.
We sure do.
We'll talk about it then too. But so for the Midwest Gaming Classic, we're bringing Buy Me Bone Storm or Go to Hell back. So if anybody comes up and says buy me Bone Storm or Go to Hell, gets 10% off the table.
Do they have to fucking stutter all over it too, or do they have to say it right?
Wow.
You can either will apply. And both are
valid. For the special guests, if you look at Pitts when we're there and you say, hey, eat a bag of dicks,
punch him in the dick.
You get my $4.25 special on anything on his table.
Especially when he walks away.
Yes.
And I might just keep the $4.25, he says. No. Yeah, that's right. Bobby Bowen Sturmer, go to hell. Come tell us that at Midwest Gaming Classic, and you can get 10% off anything on the table. Anything.
And we've got one other one that John's going to help us
anything.
With. Anything. I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and there is one other one. If you show us your review for the show.
Yes.
It has to be a positive review. I know John was waffling.
It has to be 5 stars.
You get a free Super Mario Brothers 3 for the Famicom from Mr. Young.
That while supplies last.
Yeah, while supplies last.
Now, keep in mind.
He's got about 370 of them.
I was told that there are already people waiting outside of the Wisconsin City Center Convention Hall trying to make sure that they're the first in line. The VIGs, as they call them.
The VIGs?
So they can race to the booth, the yet-to-be-determined location of said booth, to tell us that they did a review for us and get that free copy.
Are they like Black Friday camping out?
It's worse than that. It's like when the first Star Wars came out, The Phantom Menace?
Yeah.
And people were like parked out in front of movie theaters for like a week in a tent?
These people are weird.
They're fucked up. So, Jay, why don't you tell us a little bit about the topic of today's episode?
Today's topic is, it's Parodius from Myth to Laughter for the Famicom and NES. So, Mike, you want to go over the release on this?
I thought you'd never ask.
I absolutely will. And I have.
Yeah, Parodius came out in Japan originally in arcades. It was February of 1990 it was released. I could not find a release date for the Famicom cart. The Japanese name for the game is Parodius da Shinwa Kara Owarai E, which translates to "It's Parodius from Myth to Laughter." Not directly. It's kind of a rough translation. And then it also came out in PAL territories on a standard-looking NES cart, which is sitting right here in front of us, as Parodius Nonsense Fantasy. And I don't know if I've ever heard a more aptly named game in my entire life.
No, it's pretty accurate. So it never came out in the U.S., though.
No, it did not. Baldor says, I missed the first part. Please start over. Oh, yeah, hold on. We'll go back. All right. We're going to go a little bit about the gameplay and story of this game. And this is going to be kind of all over the place because I'm going to tell you, this game is all over the place. The game is generally a side-scrolling shooter with kind of some vertical movement. You know, there are levels where you'd have to go up and down around obstacles and the whole screen would shift up and down. Remember that?
Yeah.
So, and it's similar to Gradius in kind of how it plays, and it also retains some of its power-up system as well. And what it really truly is, Jay, is a parody of Gradius or Parodius. Again, aptly named.
Yeah.
So anyway, you start the game. I think you get what? You can start the game with three ships by default, but you have unlimited continues. I'm fairly certain on that. And when you start the game, you get to choose your power-up style, and there's automatic or manual. So you get power-ups in these games that give you, you know, additional options, ships, missiles, all that stuff. And you can either have the game dictate that because the developers basically said, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for somebody who'd never played one of these games before and didn't know what the hell was going on. And then manual, which is the Gradius style of power-ups, essentially. You have the bar across the bottom. Every time you get a power-up pill or whatever you want to call it, it highlights one of the ones at the bottom in a row, and then once it gets to the one that you want, you press, I believe it was A, and it would invoke it, right? So, and then there are three difficulties, easy, medium, and hard. I'm going to tell you, don't waste your time with the medium or the hard.
Yeah, probably stick easy.
Because holy crap, is this a hard game. There are four playable characters in the game, and each of them have their own weapons, which are based on Konami properties. I probably should say, everything in this game is like this hodgepodge of Konami properties. Like, it's a little bit and piece of everything all over the place. And the more you read about it, the more you watch and listen to people talk about it, the more you find out that basically everything is. It's kind of crazy. So we can't get too granular with the details because you could be here all night talking about it. And we can't do that tonight. We cannot do that.
No, we're speedrunning.
That's right. We're speedrunning. So, but the four different playable characters are Vic Viper, who, you know, the captain of the ship from Gradius, and he is, you know, equipped with Gradius-style guns and upgrades.
Yep.
There's the octopus, which I believe his name is Taco, and he uses the salamander weapons set, I'll call it, you know, like that type of weapons that are in Salamander the Shooter.
Yes.
Twin B, which is generally a vertical shooter, but in this case, it's oriented as a horizontal because it's the style of game that it is, and it has the Twin B upgrades. And then also, part of the power-ups of this game are the bells from Twin B, which in Twin B, you shoot, and they'll change colors, and each one of those has its own power-up. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but that's also part of this game. And then there's Pentaru, who is the penguin, and there's some story about how he's the son of some penguin that was in this game, and I don't even know, man. It's like, everything's got this real... I tried to, like, read. I'm just like, I can't. But anyway, his weapon set is the Gradius 2 weapon set, which was not really a game that was ever released over here. It was a Famicom game. So, yeah, there's constant references, though, to other Konami properties. Goemon, Twin B, Gradius. I mean, like, I don't even know, man. There's so many. It's all over the place. A lot of the stuff I'm not super familiar with because, again, this game was released in Japan primarily. And a lot of those properties are really either big or more notable in Japan. But you could just tell. You're like, okay, man. Like, there's some crazy shit going on here. Talked a little bit about the power-up system. You have the red pods from Gradius. I keep saying Gradius, but someone's going to go, it's Gradius. It's Gradius.
Let me do it. It's Gradius. There we go.
We're no, okay, I didn't want you to do it. Well, no, I wanted someone to do it. You're someone, but not... Never mind.
I'm not the someone.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back.
Anyway. You got the red pod. I'm going to keep saying Gradius, so people are going to do it. You got the red pods from Gradius, and there's kind of this, man, how do I put this? And I might be conflating here. There's a roulette feature in the power-ups.
Yes.
Where you will get a pill, and instead of it advancing you, it will say roulette on the screen, and then it just starts cycling through them at the bottom very quickly, and you have to press a button. Whenever you press the button, whatever it's on, when it stops, that's what you get. The sucky part about that is you might have the kick-ass fucking ring, whatever that was called. You know,
Ripple.
Yeah, the Ripple gun as the octopus, which was our preferred guy to use.
Yeah.
The Taco. You might have that, and then, like, you get that thing, and, like, you can't get rid of it. You either have to finish the episode or die. Even if you get more of the pills, it will never stop it from cycling through. So you just have to kind of, like, you know, obviously, roulette, you have to test your luck. And that sucks because that is a random mechanic from what I can tell. There's nothing that invokes that. And then the other crummy part about the power-ups is there is a exclamation question mark. And we found out the hard way that after I had, what, four options, you know, the options are the extra balls of that shoot. Like, they're almost like floating turrets, I guess, or whatever you want to look at it, right?
They're like little miniature versions of your character.
Sometimes they're just glowing like fireballs too. Yeah. But anyway, you have like four of those, you're shooting directionally, you got a shield, and then you hit the exclamation question mark one. It takes everything.
Yeah, then you're just back to ground zero.
You might as well have just died.
Yep.
So, which, by the way, this is one of those games, just like Gradius, in that you lose all of your power-ups when you die.
Oh, yeah.
So do not die near a boss. If you're going to die, die at the beginning of the stage. You know, like Jay did, constantly.
Hey, you're giving away my secrets.
Anyway, there's 10 stages. Each has their own boss. And man, they got some cool bosses in this game.
These bosses are fucked.
These bosses are fucked. There was a ballerina bear. There's a pirate bird. There's the moaning mermaid. And all these things have names, including the women. They have, like, one of the interesting parts about this game is there's a lot of overt sexual overtones in the game. Not a lot in this one. It kind of gets more so the further this series goes on. And that's the Super Famicom version. Yeah. But there's the moaning mermaid. There is the Uncle Sam eagle, who is like this flying eagle wearing like the big Uncle Sam hat and whatever. He looks like the eagle from the 84 Olympics or whatever it was.
Yes.
Right. And then they're like, they have the MOA statues like from Gradius where they shoot the rings out of their mouth. But this time they're like animated and they have weird like Japanese cartoon eyes and all that shit. And then they have my favorite enemy. My favorite enemy in the whole game. Cat boat. It is a pirate ship with a cat head on it that when you shoot it, it just meows.
And don't forget, instead of the paddles on the bottom half of the boat, it's a bunch of little kitten paws.
That's correct. Cat boat rules. This game is a very bright and colorful game. Man, I was watching SNES Drunk, who's a YouTuber who does a lot of reviews on, you know, SNES games, obviously. Yeah. And he said, it looks like I'm looking at a moving bowl of Fruity Pebbles sometimes. And he is right. It is a sensory overload.
It is.
Especially on this, There is all of them, really. I want to specify, but really it's all of them. I can't even, it doesn't, let's not even get into that because it's almost all of them. Now, one thing I put on here as well is, this game to me, if you're familiar with the story of the song Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite by the Beatles, you would know in that production, right, when they made that song, they were trying to replicate this, like, kind of insane sounding carnival, right?
Yes.
And they took all these clips and the studio engineer, I think it was Jeff Emmerich at the time, was trying to like make it happen. And the producer, George Martin, said, you know what? Fuck it, man. Just take all the clips, throw them up in the air and put them back together randomly. And that's how the song got made. Montage or whatever you want to call it. That end part of the song where all those things are flowing together weirdly. That's why it sounds that way. That's what this game is. This is the video game version of Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, where there's literally all these things centric to a theme, Konami's IPs, and they're all over the fucking place in the most random of ways. It's delightful and fun and colorful, and I love how the presentation and the music is good, but man, is it, it's a little fucky.
It is.
It is a little fucky. So anyway, that was my assessment of the gameplay and story. So Jay, why don't you tell me a little bit about the background and development of this game?
Okay, I can do that.
Cool, good.
You're like, I hope so, thank God.
What else are you here for?
Right? So it is inspired by MSX, which was two cartridge slots that could be used in tandem on that video game system.
Yeah, pretty interesting dynamic where you could, like, Konami could have developed like Twinbee, and then you could have taken like Twinbee and like Gradius or Salamander and put them both in, and they would complement each other, and you would play like one game that is augmented by the other.
Yeah.
And people theorize that this game, Parodius, came out of that, where they're like, well, maybe we could just make a game like that.
Just to do everything.
Just put our stuff in it, right? So, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. So this is the second of five games in the Parodius series, mm-hmm. the one we're talking about tonight. The first was only released on the MSX.
Yep.
And then Parodius DAW was basically an enhanced port of the MSX version.
Yeah, it was. They changed it. They made it a little bit better. The MSX was more limited. It just is a better version of that game, is what I would say, like a more fleshed out version of it. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then they had very large sprites, especially for the NES version.
Yeah, I was like, I'm always astounded, like the dragon in Wile E. Castle 1 or whatever it is, where you're like, wow, oh, yeah. That is a big character in an NES game. There's lots of that going on. And guess what? I'm going to skip to the bottom of this section. You know what that invokes? Slow down. Oh my God.
It does.
This game is a fun game to play, but if you have, there are plenty of moments in this game where there's a lot going on. And you know, if you've played retro games on an NES, if you've played games of the era, you know what happens when a lot of stuff happens on the screen at once.
Slows down and you start losing where you are.
And this might be the worst example of it that I've ever seen.
Yes.
There were times where I was like, I was waiting for everything. Like I was trying to like make sure I wasn't pressing too hard too long, because I knew eventually the slowdown would end and I would like ram myself into a cliff or something or whatever.
Yeah.
There is so much going on in this game. It was very ambitious. And like I said, graphically, I think it's excellent, but golly, is it slow.
Yeah, there was a
wow.
lot. When there's a lot going on, and it's almost like it doesn't even have a limit on how much is too much.
No.
Like, it's like, okay, there's a lot, everything's slowing down, screen's breaking up, but we're just going to add three more things to it. Like, that was how bad. It was just, yeah. They added so much to it.
It's absurd. Like I said, we'll get to our personal experiences in a little bit, but
yeah.
What else about the background development of this game?
So, there have been many Parodius-themed pachinko machines.
There's not a lot of detail about the background, I'm going to say. So that's why you start getting details like this from us.
Yeah.
No surprise to anybody who's followed Konami's shit show of the last 20 years of how they deal with their IPs and business. But yeah, there's a ton of pachinko machines that are Parodius themed. I kind of want to play one.
It'd be kind of neat.
It would be sexy and funny. So what else?
So the soundtrack was also released in 1990 in Japan on CD and cassette. So you could actually buy the soundtrack to this.
Yeah. And so of course I started looking and I'm like, there's one for $30 plus $20 shipping. And I'm like, maybe I need this. And I thought to myself, am I going to spend $50 on a CD, a music CD?
I bet you spent that on a record in the last month or more.
Anyway.
You should buy.
So the CD actually also includes not just the songs, but all the sound effects from the game as well.
Yeah.
And there are some suggestive ones, man. There are some suggestive sounds on this. So anyway, little thing. It was also re-released on CD in 1998. And yeah, that's pretty much what we got. So let's get into the reception. What do you say?
I was going to ask if you wanted to talk about some reception.
I think that's a great idea. So One of the things I've determined, you know, you do research for these games when you do a show like this, and I didn't know much about Parodius. I recently got the cartridge from Robbie, the PAL NES cart, as you see, you know, for those watching, you can see here. And then I also have the Famicom version that I got from our good friend John. This game was one of those games, if you were of the era, like you would read reviews and there would always be a section about import games or Japanese games or that type of stuff that we wouldn't see over here in, you know, in the West. And this game was always one of those. It's one of the best games you'll never play games. So I think that that's probably fair, although you can play it now. So that's a little different. Now, I'm going to say, flip your sheet over. Don't look at it. Flip it over. You didn't read any of that. Okay.
I didn't even get to the next page yet. Was it on the next page? I was still on the reception page.
You're on the right page.
Are you quizzing me?
Yep.
Ah, fuck.
So, this might not be very exciting, but I'm going to tell you. this game did not make the best of any of the lists that we generally go over. So the top 100 or 200 Nintendo Power of all time, the top 100 or 200 Game Informer video games, Polygon, none of that stuff. It made none of those. Okay, so spoiler alert, it didn't make any. Now, an argument could have been made that it should have, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. So what I did do is I went over to Moby Games, which is a resource I use. It's really good, in-depth information. They pull together advertising sometimes and stuff about specific games, and they have reviews, both of the era and modern reviews, and they wind up compiling all that information to kind of create a score for the game, right? So, and they call it the critic review, and then they rank games based on the average critic review. So good site. I love Moby Games. I use it quite a bit. Basically, they rated it on a 100% score. And, you know, the higher the score, the better. Where do you think overall this game was scored on Moby Games with their average critic review? From 0 to 100% in increments of 1%. And now I should say, it is not just the NES version or the Famicom version. That also includes the Super Nintendo and the TurboGrafx versions of this game, which we'll get into where you can play this in a little bit.
73%.
85%.
Oh, that was better than I thought.
Yeah, and they have, so they've ranked 150,097 games, and they're trying to, like, basically do them all, right? That's part of what the concept of this site is. Out of those 150,097 games, this was number 1,160. That's in, like, the top 7% of games of all time.
And if you think about that, there was no U.S. release on this.
Yeah. So, I know. I also know that because every time I go find a commercial or any kind of advertising or anything that would have been in a magazine, it's always in German. Always. I'm like, oh, cool, here it is. Nope. Can't use that. Can't read none of that. So, all right, real quick. They also did individual. So, on the NES, it ranked at 71% from an average critic review, which put it number 352 out of 1,422 NES games. Or Famicom and NES games, I should say. Super Nintendo, Super Famicom, 87%. It was number 23 out of over 1,200 games.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I thought, I would say that that's probably justified. That I will talk about our personal experience, but yes. Definitely that was a very, very good game.
Yes.
And then TurboGrafx, out of 256 games, it was number 4, 92% on PC Engine.
I wouldn't play it on there.
I would.
I bet it's really good.
I'm ready. I'm going to look for a copy of Midwest Gaming Classic. I'm going deep in the Proteus when I go there. If I think of any Proteus stuff, I'm in.
I just said, let's go.
Let's go.
We are going.
We are going to go. So,
can I flip my paper page over now?
You can do whatever you want, buddy. That is a little bit about the reception of this game. So I think it's time to do the LGN game rating.
All right.
I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
Then I'll go. We'll call John, retro game enthusiast, and then we'll call Robbie, 8-bit supremacy. Sashimi Z has abstained from reviewing this game. I don't know if he has some sort of issue with imports. I don't know what it is. Maybe he only buys American. I don't know.
He might.
With a name like Sashimi Z, you'd think he'd be a bit more worldly, but who's to say? All right. So, Jay, what did you think of this game? Give me your score.
So, won't make it too long, but we played this for quite a while. We end up playing the PAL version, we played the Famicom version, and we played the Super Nintendo version. And I enjoyed all three. I was fucking terrible on the PAL and the Famicom version. Terrible.
The 8-bit version of Parodius Da was your kryptonite.
Oh, I couldn't even get past the first, like, part. I couldn't even get past part one of level one.
I've never seen you play a game so poorly in my life.
Terrible.
Maybe when you're playing me at Ultimate World Combat 3.
Oh, no, I'd say I was even better on that.
Yeah, you didn't just fall over. It said fight. You think I just fell over.
I've at least beat you a round.
Yeah, that's true.
I may not have beaten one entire match, but I at least went a round from you.
That's
playing
fair.
You.
That's fair.
But yeah.
I was blindfolded, but that's fine.
I was terrible.
You were toilet, yes.
But you know what? The game is fun. It's still fun. Even though I was terrible, the game is still fun.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. Solid 4.0 for me.
Solid 4.0.
Like strong 4.0. Not like a meh, it's a 4.0. Solid 4.0.
Okay.
If we were doing the Super Nintendo version or Super Famicom, I probably would go to a 4.5.
Yeah.
Maybe even say a 5.
Maybe.
But I got substantially farther in that game, so I think that's my bias.
You got a lot more. You got a lot more time with
yes,
it.
Yes.
I didn't keep dying on the first guy.
No.
All right.
So that's all I got. What about you?
I really enjoyed playing this game. I had never played it until we played it for the show. I had played the Super Nintendo version, or Super Famicom version, I should say, but I had never played the 8-bit version of this game. I only recently got the cartridges from Robbie and John. You know, I'm like in the last few months, I'd say. Maybe sooner with Parodius from for Famicom. I can't remember, but I just hadn't played it.
Yeah.
So I really did enjoy my time playing it. The slowdown really, oh, God, it just irked me. But it didn't deter me. So I'm like kind of torn on this one. I really enjoyed the experience. It was fun. It was colorful. I'm with you that if we were reviewing the Super Nintendo, or if we were reviewing the Super Famicom version of this game, my score would definitely be higher because there's less slowdown. The characters are more defined. It's just more of the good is what you get with it.
Yes.
I'm going to say I'm kind of torn between two scores on this NES version. I didn't look. I think I'm going to go with the Valdor, but I'm going 3.5.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
I expected you to grade way higher.
No, I was between 3.5 and 4. No, it's a. I don't know. It is probably one of the best shooters on the system. I would say it's right up there. Like it just is so slow.
That slowdown,
like the slowdown, kills me, and I'm just like, ugh. But it is a lot of fun to play. I don't know. Maybe I might reconsider before we're done. I might move it to a 4. I might. I'm. I don't know. Right now I'm sitting at 3.5.
All right.
So that's where I'm at. Anyway, all right. Time to give our friend, retro game enthusiast John Young, a call.
Hello.
Best barbecue around. I really hope you made a good decision on a grill. It's the one and only retro game enthusiast John Young, the barbecue sauce master. Like the Beastmaster, Mr. Famicom Box himself. John Young. Retro game enthusiast.
And why is he called that?
Because Tyler makes me say that. Because I used to call him Mr. Famicom.
Yeah, I know. John, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. You know, every time Jay gives me an introduction, I clip it and have it as my ringtone. Nobody calls me, so I never hear it. But it's been a lot of change recently. We've been doing a lot of episodes.
I've also learned how to change my ringtone pretty proficiently from it.
You remember, Mike, I'm sure you were one of these guys. Back in the day, you used to not only be able to change your ringtone, but you used to actually force people to listen to music that you liked.
Absolutely.
And it was like,
what'd they call it?
It was a service.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
No, you could like have iTunes, yeah,
or something like that.
But it was like called like a ringback tone or something like that, whatever it was. But well, yeah, someone would call you and then they would get whatever music you wanted them to hear when they called you.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I haven't turned my phone off vibrate in probably 14 years.
I'm like Jay, actually. I leave my phone on vibrate. It was, you know, a work thing. And then when I stopped working in a public office back in 2020 for some reason, I just never turned on my ringtone. It just, you know, too much work. Quick aside, one of my buddies did actually pay for that service, and he just put the most raunchy, nastiest sounds on. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if his grandmother ever called him, but I'm sure at some point he decided it was a bad idea.
Maybe I should change it to, you know, a normal sound.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Explain it to my grandmother.
Yeah. Why your friend did that? Why would you explain it to your grandmother? Anyway, that's a dumb joke. Okay. So what have you been up to, man? It's been 7 days since we spoke.
Prepping for MG.
Just listening to I was trying to remember the Canadian band. What was their name?
April Wine.
Been X number of days since I looked at you. Blah blah blah. Something. I'm sorry.
Helix.
Rush.
No, never mind. It was like a 90s.
Ravine.
No, don't worry about it.
Sloan.
I'll think about it later. What's that? Oh, people love when we just guess like
Sloan. Is it like, Sloan?
What's that?
Sloan.
No.
I'm out of Canadian bands.
I'm not.
It was, man, I think the leads, Casey Affleck is really into him, and he did like a biopic on him.
Bare Naked Ladies?
There we go. Thank you.
No, good, Robbie good actually pull. Came up with that. That was Robbie.
I didn't want to guess that because that seemed like the most obvious one.
So we called Robbie out on being a Bare Naked Ladies fan. Got it.
Yeah. It's that mustache.
I thought it was going to be Organized Rhyme.
Okay. All good guesses.
Yeah, I know my shit, he says.
All right.
So what do you guys, why do you guys hate good games?
I love good games.
Okay.
Why?
What just happened? What happened? No. Who hates good games?
Knocking on Proteus like it's the worst game ever.
I just gave it a 4.
Oh, sorry. I was fighting.
I gave it a B out of a. Gaming, I gave it a
so
B.
I wasn't paying attention. So, what you got to do is you got to play it on something that you can turn on some sort of turbo, because on the analog NT, you turn on this little turbo core. No more like slowdown. It's a beautiful game.
Mr. Fancy Pants is analog NT over here. You can bring that with you. Well, that's Midwest Gaming Classic.
I can if you'd like.
I'd like.
But no, it. I did play it without that turn on, and man, that slowdown is horrible. Like it's funny because like
there's nothing funny about it.
Well, no. Here's the funny thing about it is that when you start off, it's fine. It's just as you upgrade your weapons, you get more and more like stuff on the screen.
Yep.
It just goes crazy. And
if you just keep the base gun, you're cool. You'll also die constantly like Jay did, but you will never slow down. You'll die quickly.
I don't know if I'd say like I did. It didn't matter what I had. I died quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be like, oh, I got Ripple, and I'm dead.
True.
No, it's... I don't know if it's as bad as Dr. Chaos. So, I mean, I feel like I would almost wager a bet on that one.
Like the game or the slowdown? Bad.
The slowdown has to be the
okay,
slowdown.
Okay, I thought you meant the game. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
No. The aesthetics great. Of the game are amazing. It's everything you want in a like shooter as far as like some of the fun diversity of characters, the different terrains, you know, some of the scrolling. But yeah, it's that slowdown, honestly. Like that's the only thing that holds it back from being an amazing game. Maybe a couple of quality of life, you know, adjustments in modern shooters, which I'm sure they've, you know, gotten to by the TurboGrafx-16 port. But no, this is an interesting game because it pays homage to some level of nostalgia for shooters, but then other nostalgia that I'm just not familiar with. So like the I think the penguin guy is from Antarctic
Adventure.
Adventure. Yeah, so that's
Pentaru. Like
what's that?
Pentaru.
Sure, I believe you.
Why not?
That was an MSX game originally, and I think that's the first one that what's his name from Metal Gear Solid worked on. I think that's the distinction for that game.
Hideo Kojima?
Yeah. So that was his first game on the MSX. And then there was a sequel on the Famicom. And that was not...
Parodius Da. On that one. Yeah. That's but the one we're talking
Konami
about now.
Title, so that's where it all comes from. And honestly, Konami does this kind of mashup and like homage very early on in their like... video game career. Wawa World. I know, Mike, that's a game that I let you borrow a long time ago. And the sequel, actually, it's almost like a Mega Man game, except for you're taking on the levels and the powers of people in previous Konami games. Really good platformer.
I promise I'll play it. I think I did play that one. Is that the one that has the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle song in it? That's okay.
The song, I don't remember, but maybe.
Are you ready to get those cartridges back yet?
Yeah, we can bring those games if you want to the whatever. I do want to say the music on this game is phenomenal. Like it's got like this bubblegum pop, like 90s punk pop sound. It's really a lot of fun to listen to.
I would agree. I really, the more I'm sitting here thinking about it, the more I'm upset at myself. I'm probably going to change it to a 4 because okay. You make a good point. You're making a lot of good points.
It's set in stone.
Yeah, I'm going back to a 4 here.
Got 2 4s.
Sorry, Valdor. Love you.
I could definitely see people. There's a lot of people that have issues with frame rate. So like in the original Zelda, there's frame rate issues when you're fighting all the Lionel Richies, you know, the horse guys. That actually is a bit of a feature to the game, whereas this, with the flicker and the slowdown, it's just not. Zelda did slow down right in that it was almost helping you and the flickering wasn't too bad. But for Parodius, like, it's just bad. The frames per second would definitely hurt somebody that is a PC gamer. Whereas, you know, somebody that's used to it and, you know, knows how to get around it would be fine.
Right.
So,
but it, yeah. Yeah. It's just so crippling at times. I agree with what you're saying. Yes. Like, I immediately go into that mode where you're like, okay, I know what this is about. Things just got to settle down. I got to kind of persevere, slow down. But it's just crippling. It's like to a screeching halt at times bad. So anyway.
And maybe in the future what I'll do is I'll dig into this before an episode. But this is like prime real estate for somebody to go into the code of Proteus and like clean it up.
Yeah.
Because I think there's probably some efficiencies there. But then again, it's a beautiful game for the time. Maybe this is, you know, pushing the extremes of the NES.
But a little ambitious, yeah.
Yeah, but there's definitely some other emulators out there that can speed up the NES hardware. So maybe that's even an option. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Mike 4.0. I know that that's at the same level as Contra, and I'm kind of internally conflicted about that.
I wasn't going to say it, but earlier when you said, wow, what's your guys' problem with this game? Jay, you gave it a 4.0, and I thought,
No, I was pretty much on the fence with 3.5 and 4.0. I do think that this is the kind of game, though, that even, like, ignore the slowdown. Like, you're going to have a lot of fun with the first couple levels, and then the slowdown's going to get you to the point where you're going to, like, be like, all right, I'm done with this for now.
Well, you had fun watching me play the first couple of levels. And it's true. I mean, Cat Boat is there. What more do you want?
Exactly.
You got Cat Boat.
That's about all you need.
Those bosses are some of the most creative bosses in, like, an NES game.
And they're very detailed. And they're very well done, and they just look. Yeah, I agree. They're just. I agree with you. Yeah, 100%.
So, even just for the fun factor, I think it's worth checking out just so you can kind of see what's going on. I'm keeping this one as a 4, and end of year we'll talk about Contra. I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. So, all right.
And sorry, just to reiterate what you had said earlier, 50 copies of Super Mario Bros. 3. If people are waiting, that's perfectly fine. You got to leave a good review. And I'm excited about this. Should be good times.
We all are. One of the things that has been discussed again is that I think we are going to actually try to bring a working Sega Saturn, get a copy of Saturn Bomberman, Hell. 2 multi-taps,
yes,
and 10 controllers, and play 10-player Saturn Bomberman. I was discussing this, so I think that's going to happen.
That might actually be already set up inside the museum section.
I don't care. It'll be in my hotel room.
Okay. Oh, okay, in your hotel room. Oh,
wow. Or at the booth at the table. We'll see what kind of room we got once I go through this dry run. But anyway.
I'm not real familiar. Does Milwaukee have beer? I feel like that would be a good addition to that.
I think it's outlawed inside the city.
The prohibition, they don't have beer.
Got it. PBR. Okay. Yeah. The P stands for prohibition.
Ever since, when Fonzie was killed trying to jump that shark when he was hammered on Blatz.
Fonzie, the well-known Milwaukee resident.
Yeah, there's a statue of him there.
Okay. So. Yeah, I think I saw it. Funny face.
Yeah, that's the guy. All right.
Okay. Well, I've slowed you down. This is a speed run.
That's right. It's a speed run.
Great game. Play it.
The Barbecue King of Kansas City. I'm going to see how many fucking names I can come up for this guy.
The Casey Masterpiece.
The Casey Masterpiece. Mr. Retro Game Enthusiast. John. Mr. Famicom Box Young. Because Tyler says that's what I have to call him. Bye, John.
Later.
All right. Now.
It's that time.
So I think it's time to call our friend, Mr. Coleman.
Yes.
8-Bit Supremacy. Let's give Robbie a call.
Hello.
It's one water accident after another with you. Stop pointing at me while I'm trying to do the intro. I can't read the screen when I'm trying to introduce the mustache king of Chicago. 8-bit supremacy, Robbie Coleman, everybody.
I'm bad!
Mr. Coleman, how are you doing today?
Could be better.
Yeah, what happened?
Having a great day, and then literally about 5 minutes before you guys were about to call me, I knocked over a Topo Chico in my game room, and it's splooshed all over the bottom row of my Sega Master System shelf.
Oh, no.
And it didn't, like, drench anything, but, like, I want to say about 8 games, the very, very bottom of the spine, like, got wet underneath the paper, and I'm like, it's just water, but it's going to leave that, like, faint.
You got to pull it out of there. You got to pull it out and dry it out.
That's what I did when you called me the first time. I was like in the middle of doing that. Yeah, so that's fun stuff, right?
You okay? Is it okay? Now good?
I don't know yet. It's currently in the drying process. I think it'll be all right. It's not like there are any major casualties. It's got Walter Payton football and...
Sweetness? You live in Chicago!
That's why I have that game.
That's the only reason I have that game.
It literally is because the cover. The game's not even good at all.
It's a good reason. So,
Teddy Boy and Spellcaster might be the bigger ones that we're get a little stogged, but I think we'll be all right.
Well, I know where Power Strike is, so I'm not worried about that.
Oh, that's in a fucking box protector. Got my box protector safely out of harm's way, so.
Valdor says his Nintendo Power collection was destroyed by a leaky waterbed. When? In the 80s?
Jesus.
Did you have the first 12 issues? And then the waterbed exploded? And then it was 1990. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But anyway, I don't mean to start off on a...
No, you're good.
...sour note here. I just really bad timing.
You're good. You're good. So, how you been otherwise?
I've been well. I managed to squeeze in like an hour session of Parodius before you guys called, just as a refresher.
Excellent.
I played it like 2 years ago, and I like kind of remembered it. I remembered liking it, but I wanted a little refresher. So,
how'd you play it, Robbie?
I have the PAL NES cart, and I play it on a regular NTSC NES with the lockout chip clipped. Which is how one I've had for years and years. I play PAL games on it. Some PAL games run weird on it. Some run perfectly fine, depending on the hertz.
That's some pro shit right there, my friend.
Kinda.
Nothing but the best from you. I love it.
I was really pro. I'd get one of those like analogs or get the PAL switch and all that shit on it. But I just did this thing. I just modified my old NES. But yeah, I played it on that, and it's the only way I've ever played it. I've never played a Famicom or version or anything like that. Or the sequel, the Super Famicom one or anything like that. I've never played those.
I will say the Super Famicom version, and we'll see what you thought of the game. I really enjoyed that. I almost want it, like, you should play it. Like, when you come into town one of these days or whatever, but like, hey, you need to play it. It's a lot of fun.
So. If they fix the slowdown issue, then I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, that's my biggest beef with Parodius. Like, literally, you guys all covered this. I've been listening while you guys are doing your reviews, and yeah, man, like that, when I was turning this on, I was like, man, this game has everything I need, checks all the boxes. It's like, I love the absurdity of it, the presentation's great, I love the graphics and the sprites are huge, the music is awesome, but ultimately what it boils down to is the gameplay in terms of like what makes a good game. And the slowdown makes this thing suffer to where you're like, ugh. Like, the only other game I can think of on the NES that's like that bad is Contra Force. If I recall, that game has a shitload of slowdown when there's like too many enemies and bullets on screen.
Yes,
so.
It does. Jay said the same thing earlier because I made him play Contra Force last time. And he was like,
oh, yeah.
What if that one didn't have the slowdown? Would you think it was good? And I was like, oh, yeah, probably.
I think it would be a fine game if. We're not talking about Contra Force, but like I think Contra Force definitely suffered the same fate as Parodius in terms of slowdown. to the point where, in my opinion, if they had corrected that or just not bit off more than they can chew with development and dialed it back a little bit and made the game run better, I think people would have liked it.
I agree.
I mean, same with Parodius. Like, that's my only setback with it. Like, it has everything I like about a game. It's Konami. It's obviously based off of Gradius. I'm going to be the asshole that tells you it's pronounced Gradius, by the way.
I knew that.
And, yeah, like, with all that being said, I'm kind of, dude, I'm with you, man. I was, like, teetering between a 3.5 and a 4.
I think I got convinced with the 4, and I had to think about it, but it does have everything. It's absurd. It's fun. It's good.
I know, but I played hundreds of shooters. It's like my favorite genre aside from, like, it probably is, I guess. I don't know. In terms of, like, console video games, I play those more than anything else. I played tons of phenomenal shooters.
Sure.
I played some bad ones. And yeah, like, it's right there, but the slowdown kills it. And that makes me want to give it a 3.5. And it kind of hurts me to do that because it's like, man, this would be, somebody mentioned something about a Switch, like a Turbo Switch or something, on a different console, like one of those new analogs. Or if that magical Switch corrected this, I want to check that out because I'd probably bump it up to like a 4.5 or something.
We'll find that out in about 3 weeks because John's bringing his analog NT with us.
Well,
I mean, hell yeah. I was going to mention this. The slowdown was so bad for me. I don't know if this is an issue of a PAL game running on any NTSC NES because typically there's sometimes glitching and this and that when you do that because of the programming hertz difference. But I was playing it and I was getting really far in it. I want to say I was toward the 7th level or something, 8th. I was getting there, man, because I was grinding and trying to beat the whole game. And it was slowing down so hard that it fucking locked. Like, that's how slow it got into the game.
And that never happens on an NES.
And I was like, that was probably the first time it's ever happened to me. I was like, okay, this is probably a combination of me playing this PAL game on an NES console.
It was getting really hot.
It's already struggling. It's got to slow down, but it literally just went click and just like froze. I was like, oh, that's how slow it got, man. It's weird that Konami didn't learn their lesson from that because they fucking put out Gradius 3 on the Super Nintendo and it's the same shit.
Yeah.
That kills that. It kills that game. People have made patches and revised ROM hacks of that. Do they fix all that? And I haven't played it, but I'm sure it's far better. But it suffers the exact same fate.
I would say, as I sat there and thought about my 3.5, the thing I contemplated was all of the mediocre-ish games that were out there and how this one was actually really, really well done. And it was only limited by the system. Like, everything about it from a concept, like you said, the absurdity, the irreverence, the crazy, this, the moaning mermaids, the cat boat, all that stuff is, like, funny and cool and interesting to me, right? So I was like, that's what pushed it back up for me, where I'm like, it has everything but that. And I just, I was right there with you, and I just kind of listened and was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, I'd rather play something more simplified that just runs well and, like, I can enjoy more. That's all. That's what it boils down to at the end of the day. Like, gameplay supersedes everything else. I guess that's all I got for Parodius. I don't really have anything else to say about it because you guys haven't already said.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm not, like, as jubilant as I am in the other episodes stories but, like, I'm thinking about my soggy Master System.
That's just going to say. I was going to ask you what you've picked up, but I think it's just a bunch of soggy Master System games. This is exactly what I was just going to say. Have you picked anything up?
I literally just picked them up off the floor, yeah. There's water all over them.
At least it's Topo Chico. That's some quality.
Yeah, Topo Chico.
That's quality stuff.
It is good shit. Yeah, I bought it today. Topo Chico?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the saddest part of this whole story. That
What you spilled. The older we get, the more we're like, oh, no. The games, fuck
that
those.
Expensive.
I know
that
it is.
Expensive, man.
So, Walter Payton football? I mean, not.
Yeah, true. It actually probably cost, a case of Topo Chico probably cost more than Walter Payton football in the Master System.
I would bet you're probably right. I'm looking it up right now because I want to know. Although I think
you're
those kind
of. Case of Topo Chico or Walter Payton?
I'm going to look up both.
Oh, okay. I'll look up the Topo Chico if you want.
Here's Walter. $24 complete. $35 one sold for.
I can get like three cases of Topo of that.
Yeah, it depends on how big the
case. I should just bring the Walter Payton to the corner store, Mart, and be like, hey, three cases of Topo Chico.
It's Walter Payton. They would buy. They'd be like, hell yeah, give me
they
that.
They might put it on their wall. Yeah, Chicago ephemera.
I would.
Topo Chico twist of lime.
What? No, I didn't get the lime one. So thankfully it's just straight water. Meaning, okay. I think my little paper inserts might be fine. We'll see.
Actually, a case is that must be a pallet. That's $65. I don't think Topo Chico's that expensive.
Shit, let's start ordering.
Okay, we're done. Sorry. I digress.
I didn't really collect much. It's been a week since we talked.
Right.
I got a few arcade tokens off eBay from local arcades because I've been doing that lately.
Yep.
Local failed arcades from the 90s are ones that were like there for 2 years and disappeared that I went to once.
As opposed to all those ones that made it.
We need to see if we can find one
that made it. There's one in Northbrook where Jay was. Literally, it's in Northbrook, Illinois.
Well,
it's a Capcom Nickel City. Back in the day, it was called Super Just Games. And I was just actually watching YouTube footage of like an old Super Street Fighter 2 tournament that happened there in 1994 today. Like, they have found footage of some dude walking around the camera during that. But like, yeah, it's a Capcom owned arcade that's been there since the 90s. It's still there. It's been renamed, but it's still under Capcom's umbrella. So it's the only one that survived.
Very nice. Well, it's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just the arcade tokens, something else?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, for personal stuff, I can't think of anything else I've gotten. No.
Well, I'll give you 2 weeks next time.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal that we're doing this.
No, I don't.
Back to back. I don't know. Many people are going to burn out on us if we start doing it every other week, but
I'll burn out if I'm doing every week, man. I can't keep up with the pace. So
yeah,
no worries there. So all right, well, very good. I got you down for 3-5, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. Anything else?
Are we doing another episode before Midwest Gaming Classic?
We are 2 weeks from today. We will be doing Baseball Stars for the NES.
Okay. All right. That'll be an interesting one.
It sure will.
Whatever that means.
Oh, you'll find out. You'll pay.
All right. All right. See you later, guys.
See
you.
See you, Robbie.
Yeah.
He might be 8 bits on Instagram, but he's number one in our hearts.
He's 64-bit on that mustache.
The one and only 8 bits from C. Robbie. Come on, everybody. I'm bad! So again, we have no rating for Sashimi Z.
Fuck him.
I don't know, man. He just couldn't show up. Guy's a busy guy. Like I said, maybe he's got something against imports. I don't know. We'll see. But we expect him to be back at the next episode.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure I'll be back. Yeah, so, he will. Jay, where can you play this game today?
Well, if you search, you can play at the arcade. You can, of course, play it on the Famicom, which we have here. Mm-hmm. You can play it on the NES, the PAL version.
Which we also have
here. Of the cartridge. The PAL version will play on the US Nintendo.
Not always. You remember, we played it on a top loader.
Yes.
There's no lockout chip on a top loader.
Yes.
And if you've disabled the lockout chip on your toaster-style standard NES like this,
yes,
you can.
Okay.
But I do not believe that it will play if the lockout chip is enabled. There you go.
So if you have a top loader, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But
or go cut pin 4, I think it is, on that NES 10 chip.
There we are. Then you, of course, the Japanese Game Boy.
Of course.
The PC Engine.
Of course.
PSP.
Yeah.
The PS3, the Wii, and the Wii U.
A lot of those are Japanese.
Yes.
So like anything I believe from the PSP on was released in Japan.
It was Japan.
The PSP was actually cool. It's called Parodius Portable and had all the games on it for the PSP.
That's cool.
That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. But I'll never see it, so what do I care?
Never know. I'm going to Midwest Gaming Classic. You might see it there.
You might. You might. You might see it when I buy it. So, man, time to talk about collecting this game.
I bet there's a lot.
There is not.
Okay.
You are wrong and you know it. You can see the notes.
I can.
There's not a lot going on here. Okay. There's the Famicom version we talked about. There's the PAL NES version that we talked about. Famicom loose, as you see it here, $25 roughly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well worth it, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Complete in box, about 50. You know, it's those little small Famicom boxes. And then the PAL NES version, $45 for the loose cart, somewhere in there, $45, $50, $90 complete. If I saw this game out for $90, I'd probably buy it and then sell my loose one, or maybe just put it up in the pile of the others. So, yeah, it's just there were, I could find no sealed copies of these games. Famicom wouldn't be sealed anyway. There's, and other than it's never been opened, right?
Yeah.
But the PAL NES, there's no sealed copies of these games that I could find. There were no sealed copies of these games. And also, from a, we go over graded sales, I found none.
Wow.
There's nothing in the population report for this game, for any version, whether it's sealed or CIB. And there's been no graded sales of this game. So if you got a graded one out there, it's certainly not with WADA, and no one's ever sold it.
That's insane.
So, Jay, why don't you tell me a little bit about the speed running of this game? What's that?
Nothing. There is nothing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nothing on the speed run.
I couldn't find anything. There are speed runs on YouTube of this, and people have done, like, tool-assisted speed runs where they beat it in, like, 37 minutes. But I watched one of the speed runs that a guy had put up, and he kept dying. I'm like, this is not a speed run. You're not dying intentionally to advance in the game somehow. You're just dying and doing that spot over again. It was It was really weird. I guess it's kind of hard to speed run this game. You can, you could in any game, but it's a regulated pace that it moves at, right? So the only way you're getting done faster is if you beat the bosses faster, right? Like, that's it. That's, you're never getting through quicker.
Yeah.
Because it moves at that pace. So, yeah, not really a whole lot about speed running of Parodius. So, I think that's it.
I think you're right.
I think we've done a pretty good job of speed running this. So I think it's time we wrap up. So what's the next game we're going to do, Jay?
Well, 2 weeks. So we're getting back on a regular schedule now.
Last show before Midwest Gaming Classic.
Yes. We are going to do Baseball Stars.
March 22nd.
Yes.
We're going to do Baseball 22nd. Stars for the NES. And then also...
For the NES? Really?
I know. I probably should have led with the AES and the MVS.
Anyway.
Yeah, the old SNK props.
Yeah.
So, yep. So, Jay, where can the people listening to us now find us?
Well, we do have a link tree. You can go to that and see all of our social media sites.
Yeah.
And that link tree is linkter.
Yeah.
.ee.
Yeah.
/lostchoice.
Can I leave a voicemail of the link tree?
As a matter of fact, you can.
I'll be right back.
All right, I'm on my own now. Or you can go to our social media sites individually. So Lost Joystick will get you to Instagram and Twitter. And then Lost Joystick Network will get you to Facebook and Twitch. Then our email address is info@lostjoysticknetwork.com. You will not win anything, but you can email us and tell us to buy you Bone Storm or go to hell.
That is true. You might get 10% off at my table. Midwest Gaming Classic. You can't miss it. You will not be able to miss the tables. I guarantee it. All right. Let's show. That is the news, folks. And I am out of here. Anyway. I will say. Go out there. Have fun. Be safe. And be excellent to each other.